This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Tuesday, November 15th. The Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway. Deucer's in the building as well. Lots to talk about today. Waivers. Big waiver day.
Big waiver day.
Trade deadlines are coming as well. Some of them, week 10 was the end. Many of them, week 11. And, waivers, trades, setting yourself up for the playoffs. We've got a playoff primer episode tomorrow. We'll be breaking down matchup situations. I have one team that is locked and loaded. Like, it's ready to go. The playoffs, it's a foregone conclusion. Probably got the bye, and I need to get to work. I need to start thinking about those 2 weeks. And are there swaps of like players
that they're
a match for one another and they could get done in a trade? And, you know, maybe I solve somebody's bye week problem and I get a better playoff matchup. Those type of,
maybe you run into said opponent in those weeks with the worst matchup now.
True. That's a good point. You could be trading directly to your opponent.
That's dastardly.
Yeah. Yeah. Cunning. Very cunning. We have NFL news to cover. Quarterback streamers on today's show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for supporting the show, leaving your reviews over on Apple Podcasts, following us on Spotify, and all of you beautiful people watching me in my glistening jacket on YouTube.
Oh, man.
You're ready for the rain.
Well, ready for that push to the playoffs, boys.
He's ready for sixth grade.
Is that what this was?
Yes.
Dude, the starter jackets?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the hot ticket when we were kids.
I don't know why I remember this, but
specifically the Raiders one.
There used to be something where if you used like a gas station credit card enough times, they'd give you a starter jacket. Do you remember that? You could pick your team jacket.
I remember those like types of giveaways.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it seemed like, you know, the dream.
They were gold.
And this is good stuff. How you doing today, Jason?
Doing pretty good. Actually had
Superman.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you. I'm doing very well. A good Monday Night Football game last night. It's nice to have a primetime game that hits.
Let me read something that I just pulled from the box score from that game last night that I thought was kind of just interesting, right? Taylor Heinicke, Jalen Hurts, both completed 17 passes.
Right.
The receiving cores, 17 catches each. The running game. Philadelphia had 20 rushing attempts.
Mm-hmm.
The Washington football team, 49 rushing attempts in this game. And they pulled off the upset. The Eagles are no longer undefeated.
Yep. A tremendous call. This was your upset of the week. And it was, I mean, that's an upset on the road. The Manders coming in with a sub-500 record and taking out the undefeated team, and they
controlled the game.
They just dominated the time of possession. I think they ran 50-something plays in the first half. It was, and the Eagles just didn't have the ball, and it wasn't like what the Manders did was not spectacular, because you're looking at Brian Robinson was 3.3 a clip, Antonio Gibson was 3.1. Curtis Samuel had 4 carries for 3 yards. Like, they were, they just executed on third down. And then Taylor Heinicke just a lot of prayers in those deep passes, and his receivers handling business. And like, shout out to Taylor Heinicke, Terry freaking McLaurin. finally, he's so good. It's just like DJ Moore. You've been ripping your hair out for years. Go screaming at the television, this player is good. I know he's good. I've seen him be good. Why don't you pass him the ball? 8 receptions, 128 yards, 11 targets. Fantastic game for him.
Yeah, it was Ron Rivera and the Commanders executed their game plan. They did. They commanded the game. And the Eagles committed turnovers. I mean, you had a great play to Quez Watkins down the field, turns into a fumble. You had obviously the missed call on the face mask for Dallas Goedert.
You had a lot of weird stuff by the refs.
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely on team that was the right call with Taylor Heinicke. I know you both weren't. I know you both had a vested interest in the Eagles getting the ball back.
Certainly.
But, I leaned to that side. I mean, I was looking this morning at the comments from the referee from the game, specifically head and neck area of the quarterback. I think that was probably more apparent than even the late hit part. I don't blame the Eagles for trying to make a play right there. It was a bang bang situation, but it did seem plain to me that it was the right call.
Yeah, it was the right call. It was so stupid. It's super dumb. Like, don't hear what I'm not saying.
The right dumb call.
Yes, he definitely touched him in the head area. Okay, that's a flag. I get it. You don't call that to end a game. When you have a last-second play, I mean, this is all sports. If you're a sports fan, this is not a vested rooting interest in the Eagles. This is you watch basketball, and it's game 7 of a finals, and it's going down to the wire. You don't call as many fouls. The end of a game
The Hail Mary PIs?
The Hail Mary pass interference is the perfect example. There's pass interference on every single Hail Mary. They don't call them. You got to let the players play at the end of the game because you don't want the ref deciding the game. On that, they literally were touching him down.
Yes.
I mean,
that's my biggest
problem.
They
were touching him down. And then you say, game over.
My biggest problem was, especially when you see it from the back camera, like the side angle looks, it's not as clear, but from the back, I mean, Heinicke is scrambling. He does a weird jump 180 to take the knee, and it looks exactly like a quarterback who has slipped and fallen. And if you are the defensive lineman, that's what it looked like to me. If I'm that guy, he fell down. I have to go touch him, or he gets up and he continues the play.
And they just touched. They didn't tackle him or hit him. He went flying like they hit him. But
he was
just
in a bad
him.
Position too, with his knee underneath him. I think it was easy to fall backwards quickly. Yeah, Brandon Graham. Is it Brandon Graham? Is that
correct?
Yeah, he kind of, I give him a lot of credit, the interview after the game. He said he was just trying to kind of touch him down. He said he just took it, he said he's going
to. You could see he was pulling up. He wasn't trying to smash him. He was just trying to touch a quarterback who had fallen over.
So, let's talk fantasy here. Terry McLaurin, 8 for 128. He's great.
He's on a 9-target per game pace over the last month with Taylor Heinicke.
Who will remain the starter.
Yeah, so as long as Heinicke is the starter, I think we can have a lot more confidence in Scary Terry.
26 carries for Brian Robinson, some beastly runs where he was pulling the defense. Next week they have Houston. I want to bring this up because
delightful.
Brian Robinson, Antonio Gibson, they're both going to be in play next week against Houston because the team's going to try to run it 50 times.
Yeah, this is the waiver wire show, and this morning after last night's game, I moved Brian Robinson up. He's available on enough waiver wires where – with the matchup next week, goodness gracious.
I think he looked the best in this game that he's looked so far coming back from the injury. Miles Sanders, just 12 carries. They did not have the ball enough for him to do significant damage in the offense. A.J. Brown, I saw plenty of box scores from fantasy games where you needed 2 points from A.J. Brown. You couldn't get it. You lose on Monday night.
I mean,
that is brutal.
The brutality of Twitter and fantasy football last night of the A.J. Brown, the people who had won because they had Devontae Smith pull them just over, and then he's credited a fumble on the lateral at the end of the hook and ladder play trying to make something happen.
And he lost.
Didn't he lose receiving yards?
Yes, he lost like 15
in certain sports books. Did they take it away?
Yeah, it's on the platforms. He's at 39 yards, which is so dumb.
It's not a pass. if you're throwing it backwards, by definition, that's not a pass.
I believe the recovery
of the fumble is the location of the pass reception, or what happened?
It was, I believe the first pass was not backwards, and that was, I mean, that's usually how it's scored, right? We were looking this up, ironically, yesterday before we left the studio, of like, how do they score those kind of crazy plays? The first person to touch the ball is either the reception or the carry.
Yep.
No one else gets a reception or a carry, and then the end of the end result of the play is the total yardage. So, but it was like not
okay.
I mean, that's one of those things that's brutal. If you lost on a play like that, or maybe even worse with like the defense of the Washington.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just such a wild array of sports happenings in that cockamamie play.
Yeah, the magic, right? Of
yep.
The final play. I will mention briefly, Jalen Hurts only ran for 28 yards in this ball game. I've had a lot of people on Twitter. It's like, I picked up Justin Fields, but I had Lamar. It was during his bye. I picked up Justin Fields, I got Jalen Hurts. Like, I don't know if you were in the office yesterday, Mike. You might have been, but we were just saying, like, I think Jason and I were talking about it. Like, it's Josh Allen and no one else.
Sure.
Then Fields.
I think you could make the Mahomes argument.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But Fields and Mahomes, or I'm sorry, Allen and Mahomes, and then I think right now you stay in the flames with Justin Fields above everybody else.
For 100% this week, and because he gets to the Atlanta Falcons, and I know Justin Fields did it to the Patriots. He did it to the Cowboys, right?
Yep.
And so it's hard to make the argument right now of, oh, I got a scary matchup coming. You're like, yeah, Justin Fields has already had those. And if he's running for 100-plus yards a game, it doesn't matter.
And, I looked at the box scores. I was thinking about making a trade offer for him. You're not going to have 60-plus yard touchdowns every week from Justin Fields.
No, you won't.
And he's had a couple of those in consecutive weeks where that has pushed him from 30 points to 50 points in a fantasy league. But I think the rushing baseline for him is better than Hurts right now. It's better than Lamar's right now. And that's enough for me to want to push the envelope. And, you know, Philly's defense, Baltimore's defense, much better than Chicago's defense. So you talk about needing to score points.
Sure.
I tweeted this morning. I know we've said a lot of junk about the Bears. I feel like I just call it like I see it. I don't have a bias for or against them. They have done an incredible job of catering their offense midseason to a player. You know, first four games of the year, he had 2 passing touchdowns. Last 6 games, he's had 10. Justin Fields, as a passer, has been accentuated by the game plan. It's not just he's a great runner. It's he's a better passer now because they've built an offense around his strengths.
Yeah, he's a better quarterback.
I can't help but think of all the quarterbacks that have been flushed down the toilet because their coaching staff wasn't willing to embrace what makes them good. It's not like Justin Fields looked medium. Before he looked overtly bust bad.
Yes, he did.
So it makes me wonder about those. You know,
Kyler.
Okay, Kyler is. You know, he's been an MVP candidate for the first half of a year
it's
before.
Like, look at the Lamar Jackson was the last selection in the first round, and I know some teams trade out, but it's basically every single team in the NFL could have selected Lamar Jackson. But you looked at what his skill set was, and it was, well, I don't think I can make that work in the NFL. That's scary. Like you have to completely transform your system and how you run an offense. The Ravens were willing to do it. They have been rewarded. The Bears, I mean, like it's incredible what they have done. The bringing in a new coaching staff, this is not your guy. Like you could have just said, we don't like you, Justin Fields. We don't think you will turn into a good quarterback. We're going to tank this season. We're going to select a quarterback with a top 3 pick, and that is it. We will see you later. But they had a system at the beginning that did not work, and they have changed it. It's a very, very incredible coaching move.
I think part of the fear that I would have as a team to embrace this kind of a quarterback style, that's Jalen Hurts, Kaepernick, Cam Newton, is the expiration date on your quarterback's effectiveness.
Sure.
Because, like, Cam Newton today is 33. He stopped being an effective NFL quarterback at 31, 30, mm-hmm. whereas, you know, good old Matty Ice is out there at 37 still running an offense. I think that's part of the fear is, you know, you're not going to be able to run like a 24-year-old when you're, you know, 34, but
sure.
But it's unlocking better years, right? Like Lamar's years at peak are going to be better than a lot of other quarterbacks. And man, NFL, it's a year-to-year game.
Yep.
Let's talk news.
News and notes from around the league, presented by USAA Insurance.
Well, 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 the Chargers head coach Brandon Staley says both Keenan Allen and Mike Williams will practice this week, Jason.
Oh, that is great news.
They play
for
Sunday
their practices.
Night.
Yeah, yeah, they're not going to play.
They play Sunday night against the Chiefs.
Oh, come on.
If I had watch the news, we'll keep you up to date. Listen to the Injury Blitz podcast on Friday for Matthew Betts. But if you could pick up DeAndre Carter and he could be a pivot for you, that'd be an option.
Yeah, you're saying if you've got Mike Williams or Keenan Allen,
yes,
pick up DeAndre Carter.
He almost scored twice in that game.
Wait it out, and you've got a good pivot if they aren't playing. I like that strategy quite a bit. I still am going to presume that they are not going to play. The timeline for Mike Williams, he should not be back yet. It's great if he's back to practice and not back yet and gets back on the expected normal timeline. The fact that it's Sunday night, though, certainly means you've got to have, if you don't have those late pivot options on Sunday night or Monday night football, you just need to start someone ahead of them Sunday morning.
I want to bring up another name, Arizona Cardinals wide receiver Hollywood Brown. I listened to an interview with Cliff Kingsbury, who, again, you know, the timeline for Hollywood was going to be quite a while. He says that he has progressed to the point in which it should be looked at as day-to-day. That's the way he described Hollywood Brown.
James Conner was day-to-day for 20-plus days.
The Cardinals' version of a day is very different.
It's a day on Mercury.
Yeah, well, he said day-to-day, and then he said, well, if he's not ready for Week 11, it'll be soon. And if not soon, it'll be after the bye.
Yeah.
Yes.
Week
13. We are heading into week 11 right now. He is eligible. Like, he's missed the four games. So if you're wondering when is he able to come back, they could activate him anytime by rule.
Their offense could be a very interesting end-of-season offense. You will have five regular season games after the bye, obviously not for fantasy, but you have Hollywood. Rondale Moore is emerging. DeAndre Hopkins has played a big role. They obviously lost Zach Ertz. So those players could all have relevance. Cooper Kupp diagnosed with a high ankle sprain, and the quote that I have is the prognosis, quote, doesn't look good.
Yeah.
Likely going to IR.
I mean, watching it happen, if they're saying all that happened was a high ankle sprain, I don't know. That seems like a best-case scenario. You knew he was going to be out for a long time. But if he doesn't have any actual, you know, broken bones, torn anything, and it's just a sprain, I think that's a pretty good outcome.
Even with that, though, he's going to miss quite a bit of time.
He's probably done for the
fantasy season. Yeah. Mark Andrews has a really good chance to play Week 11 against the Panthers.
Okay. Good old college try.
They're coming off the bye week. Hopefully he's good with that shoulder. If not, Isaiah Likely becomes a good play. Hopefully, if you're the Mark Andrews manager, you have Likely there. And then either way, you got a good tight end play.
Zach Ertz out for the season for the Arizona Cardinals. So Trey McBride, first
we'll see.
Tight end off the board. We'll get an opportunity. It's not somebody I'm looking at for fantasy.
No, I think Rondale Moore in the slot is who's going to pick up a lot of those type of targets.
Jerry Jeudy's ankle injury described as minor. His reaction to it on the field described as major by me.
Yes. Yeah, by everyone who saw it, yeah.
I mean, we all thought done, and so, now he's day-to-day.
You did also miss a Cardinal who will be out for the Cardinals for the season. It's Eno Benjamin, who was waived yesterday.
Got his walking papers.
Like, what? Yeah, thank you.
From starter to out on the street?
I saw a beat reporter.
There has to be something that happened.
The beat reporter that what he was told was this was there was an argument related to playing time, but that seems wacky that a player, a backup running back who did okay for you, he had one great game and a few okay games, and then James Conner comes back and he's the guy, and he comes to the coaching staff and says, I want to play more. I mean, maybe
I do not believe he had a carry in the last game.
Perhaps he was extremely just over the top confrontational about it. I mean, this is completely
like Brooks when he's like, I want more words on the show. And they were like, Brooks,
Settle down back
Gosh,
there.
Gosh, man, this ain't your show.
But yeah, you get two. Sounds aw like me. And yeah, that's it. Those two.
Yeah.
But the fact that James Conner just returned from a very long injury and you waive the primary backup is
I look
very bizarre.
I think
suspicious.
There's some ego at play, but it's similar.
Ego Benjamin?
Ego Benjamin. Oh. There is, you know, it's similar to when the Jets were winning. And Elijah Moore is saying, give me the ball. And as a coaching staff, it's like, we just won. We just beat, you know, the division mates, and you're complaining that you didn't touch the ball enough. You're gone. The combination of Eno Benjamin not being there and Zach Ertz not being there with James Conner getting 95% of the snaps or whatever it was, you know, he was basically the dude. He looks like a really good play going forward. Until he's in his next entry.
Did you guys notice that the Cardinals seem to be done with Robbie Anderson now?
Yeah.
He went from 83% of snaps to like 12%, and A.J. Green took over again.
Yeah.
What a great trade.
Can they get those picks back?
Robbie, it should have been a 7-day free trial.
Yeah.
On Robbie Anderson.
They should really do free trials.
Yeah. And then if you cancel your subscription before the trial period ends, you're good. Just put him back on a plane. One more piece of news is worth a discussion. 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan said his goal is for Christian McCaffrey and Elijah Mitchell to have even carries going forward. This, I believe.
Yeah.
I do. I believe,
yeah, I believe it.
Too. I believe it like Mike McDaniel with Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert. Elijah Mitchell's a good running back. They're a good running game. It puts Elijah Mitchell into play.
Sure.
You know, when you talk about, do you want to start Najee Harris right now? Or do you want to start Elijah Mitchell? What decision do you make there? Jalen Warren's taking carries away from an offense that's not doing well. Elijah Mitchell will have, maybe he had three chances on the goal line, Kyle?
Yeah, like three in a row.
So, you know, it's just very interesting.
Yeah, I don't worry too much for Christian McCaffrey. We've talked about this in recent days and
weeks.
There
should be better touches.
Yeah, you don't, as much as when we're watching the game, we want every touch to go their way. We don't want our players getting the ball 30 times. This last game, while Elijah Mitchell out carried Christian McCaffrey and had 18 carries, CMC still had 20 opportunities in the game. That is plenty of touches and fantasy goodness for CMC.
But do you agree that Elijah Mitchell's in play then? If he's going to get 20 opportunities too,
I think he's a flex option on a lot of weeks. The Los Angeles Chargers are a very bad run defense. That's who they played. So I don't think it'll always be as easy to, you know, give 30 plus carries to your running backs, but in the right matchup, absolutely.
Would you rather have Elijah Mitchell on your roster or Jalen Warren?
That's a good question.
Elijah
Probably
Mitchell.
Probably Mitchell. Better team.
Yeah, exactly. You're going with a backup in both situations, so give me the one with more scoring opportunities.
All right, that was today's news notes brought to you by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance. Let's get into the waivers.
Welcome to The Fold, presented by Samsung Galaxy.
All right, the week 11 bye weeks, most of my offense, the Dolphins, going on by the Seahawks, the Buccaneers, and the Jags. Let's dive into what wide receivers we're welcoming into The Fold for week 11. At the tippy top of our list are some very kind of exciting, interesting, fun names. Kadarius Toney and Christian Watson, let's start there. Toney is rostered already in 60% of leagues, but Watson in just 17%.
Yeah, both of these players are awesome pickups for the exact same reason. They are young, explosive wide receivers that you can put in your lineup this week. You can pick them up to start them, and they have like the same value as if they were a stash, just the true breakout potential on good offenses with good quarterbacks that are in need right now. I mean, both of these players I want on all of my rosters.
Kadarius Toney ran a route on only 41% of Mahomes' dropbacks last week, but was targeted on 29% of his routes run, was 4-for-57 and a touchdown with lots of upside against the Chargers on Sunday Night Football. Should be a fun one.
He also got two carries.
Watson was 4-for-107 and 3.
The Watson game is very funny. We were talking about this in the office of how, I mean, 4-for-107 and 3, that's a breakout game. That's top tier. It's fantastic. It wins you a week for fantasy football. It earns a player usually more playing time. And yet he still had a bad game. Mm-hmm. As he had two horrific drops, and he had one nine route where he had his man beat and
he stopped running.
And he quit on the route because he felt like the ball wasn't coming to him, and then there it was over his head. But still, 4 for 107.3 is that's an absolute must pick up. He was a second round pick. He's a size, speed, just freak off the charts.
I like that they're going to keep taking shots, because if you take a shot, yeah, you're not going to get three touchdowns every game. But if you tell me he's going to get eight targets and a couple of them are high value shots from Aaron Rodgers, I'm in on that. You hope that he doesn't turn into kind of like when Darius Slayton was breaking out, right? Like you get two touchdowns and then you take 3 weeks off, 4 weeks off, and you get two touchdowns and you just don't know when to play.
It could certainly happen, but the matchup is good against Tennessee. They're 31st in schedule adjusted fantasy points to the wide receiver position, and they do give up big plays to speed. That is what Christian Watson does. One of the things that's been really nice, and Andy, I think you've brought this up on the show before, is that Christian Watson has been injured all throughout the season.
Right.
And every single time that he comes back, he is immediately a starter involved and targeted. He was their plan. He was the second pick in the second round of the NFL draft, one of the highest draft capital they've ever used on a wide receiver. He's looked the part. First play of the season for them was supposed to be a bomb touchdown. We just haven't seen him healthy. Now that he's back in his first like full healthy game, he had the highest target percentage of all games, all wide receivers for the Green Bay Packers this year. No one's had as high of a percentage of targets.
They will get Randall Cobb back likely this week. Just something to monitor.
Boo!
What?
He's got Christian Watson.
I do have Christian Watson.
Oh.
He just...
wow.
Very anti-Randall Cobb.
Randall Cobb.
Let's
not the man, just the targets.
Okay. Yeah, no, okay. I'm very very unbiased view.
If both are there...
Good question.
Where are you going?
I'm going with Kadarius Toney. Yeah, I'm going to go with the offense that hasn't... I mean, this was the first three touchdown game of the season for Aaron Rodgers. It's been a tremendous struggle for them. I think there's going to be more total targets heading Tony's way in the future. Juju's in concussion protocol. Hardman's been injured. So I lean the Tony direction just for this year.
Sure. I lean the Tony direction slightly as well. But he's not as available. But Christian Watson, if he is there, at this point of the season, I'm going pretty hard in the paint after him.
What does that mean?
I mean, like, if you're looking at – if you only have two stable wide receivers, I mean, at this point, probably the rest of my fab.
Okay.
Here's a player I really am interested in at this point, Paris Campbell.
Yes. Yes. Jason.
No, I get it.
Man.
I really am. Like, I'm interested in the, like, I like him better than Michael Pittman moving forward. He's had three top 11 finishes in the last five games. He scored in three of the last five games. He's just very interesting in what Matt Ryan and this offense wants to do, and he's 27% rostered. Now, do I want him? You know, he's playing Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and Dallas the next 3 weeks. So when you look at buying into Jonathan Taylor, when you look at buying into Campbell or taking a gamble on Pittman, those are three kind of difficult matchups coming up. But Paris Campbell, somebody that can plug a hole immediately. You have a bye week. You don't have Waddle. You don't have Lockett. You don't have Metcalf. Like, there's a lot of missing wideouts this week, and I'm interested in Campbell.
Yeah, I completely agree. And even though it's not a great matchup against the Eagles, it's one of those types of players where when the pass rush comes through, there's no Nyheim Hines anymore. Matt Ryan's going to be looking to get the ball out quickly to Paris Campbell. I would not go as far as to say I would rather have him over Pittman. Pittman had nine targets this last game, but I think he's right there in the pecking order. And is a wonderful pickup who's available in the vast majority of leagues.
All right, some other names worth mentioning. Some of them kind of qualify as a stash candidate. You know, Beckham is supposed to choose a team. He's about 50% rostered.
Treylon Burks would be a stash and not someone you can play yet, but just coming back off of injury.
Had a decent target share.
Rookie wide receiver for the Tennessee Titans. Yeah, he was only on the field about 50% of the snaps. So you could have him – be really good the rest of this year. Certainly a good stash pickup, but not someone you're going to play.
And then we mentioned DeAndre Carter. If you need a spot start this week, DeAndre Carter could be in play for you.
There's quite a few spot starts. Darius Slayton.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good spot start.
Detroit.
He had 95 yards and a touchdown this last week. He's going to be playing against Detroit. So, I mean, no one wants to play Darius Slayton, but you can, and it can work out pretty well. Ben Skronik?
Yeah, man. Deep leagues. 98% of the snaps. It was two receptions for 14 yards, but it was seven targets, and it was the backup quarterback. Matthew Stafford will be back. It was concussion protocol, so it's not like a long-term injury for him. And with Cooper Kupp not on the field, this guy's going to be out there. He was already essentially a high 80% of the snaps player and was getting more action than Allen Robinson. Van Jefferson still returning from the injury. He's not going to turn into Cooper Kupp by not anywhere close, but he's going to get targets for a team that just lost. Well, I mean, what was Cooper Kupp's target share on the season? Like
110%.
Like all of the targets.
Him more than Van Jefferson.
Oh yeah, he's my favorite Ram pickup.
Do you like him more than Allen Robinson? If you had a choice on waiver wire between those two,
if somehow Allen Robinson was there, I would probably take him just because of the money and the touchdown upside. But Skoranek, I don't think is that far behind him.
Let me ask you a question about some drop candidates that have come up on Twitter. Wandale Robinson.
I think you can drop him.
Brandon Cooks, where, you know, Nico Collins is on our list of all the waiver rankings, by the way, on the website, thefantasyfootballers.com. But Nico Collins is, you know, 10 targets, 5 for 49, 21% target per route run on the season. Is Brandon Cooks somebody you just kind of, you're still holding on to after he came back?
I'm still holding on to Brandon Cooks, yes.
DJ Moore, now that Baker's back?
I'm still holding on to DJ Moore as well.
Don't drop him yet.
Yeah, but, I agree.
But uh-oh.
but uh-oh. And don't they have a Baltimore matchup this week?
Yeah.
Delightful.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back with the running backs. Hey, Foot Clan. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up, and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers. All right, Foot Clan, let's dive into what running backs we are welcoming into the fold for the upcoming week. It's tough because I think the true biggest long-term upside running back pickups, if they're out there, are both on bye.
Mm-hmm.
We had reports this morning that Rashad White, after the breakout performance, is likely to maintain the starting role in the Tampa offense, which is a valuable role. He's 22 for 105, heading on bye. Jeff Wilson, 17 for 119 and a touchdown. Big game, part two. 2 for 2 in Miami for Jeff Wilson. Also on the bye, but comes out with Houston and is rostered in 75% of leagues already.
Yeah, those guys are probably rostered, but you need to check your leagues. And because they're going into the bye, a lot of times players will go to look at available players and it's sorted by projections. They will be projected for exactly 0 points. So you need to look for those players and see if they're available. They should be rostered in 100% of leagues, not 55% of leagues. So thank you. 55! So, yeah, those are the first pickups, and unless I absolutely have to start someone off of waivers, I would rather take the bye week, spend to get one of those two guys over grabbing one of these next names.
Now, I will throw Brian Robinson into the mix as maybe competing for that top spot, though, because Houston, Atlanta, the next 2 weeks, Washington is a team on the rise, and his workload is, you know, likely to be very high. Houston's given up the most fantasy points to a running back, to the running back position by a wide margin. So, like you said, if you need a spot start this week, if you are kind of on the fence between needing that versus waiting another week, I think Brian Robinson could do you well this week.
Yeah, he could do both for sure. We've got our quarterback streamers going here in a little bit, and I thought about Taylor Heinicke. He looked pretty good. He's playing against Houston, but the reality is when teams play against Houston, they just don't throw the ball much because you don't need to. You can run all day on Houston, and that's what they're going to do with Brian Robinson. That's what they did against the Eagles and got a win. I mean, Brian Robinson is going to have more than 20 carries against one of the worst run defenses in modern-day memory.
Yeah, and please monitor the situation with the ankle for Antonio Gibson, who seems to be fine, but sometimes you play on it, and then you end up limited at practice. Isaiah Pacheco, 16 for 82. Seems like you could have a breakout performance on the way on Sunday Night Football in primetime, which means if you're going to get him, this week is a lot better week to do it than next week. He's only 33% rostered, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been kind of phased out of this offense, at least this past week. I think Pacheco is actually, you know, from a value perspective, maybe your best pickup at running back.
I've been more and more uninterested lately in the Chiefs' backfield because whenever you have a three-headed rotation, it's just difficult, especially when most of the touchdowns for the team just go in the passing game. You split that three ways, really difficult, even with a great offense. But Clyde was done. I mean, he got four snaps on the game. This is a two-headed backfield, and Isaiah Pacheco is now the starter. He had 16 carries for 82 yards. That was great. Now, if you look at the final box score, you're like, well, that's not that many fantasy points that he put up last week, but they gave him, and he fumbled. He lost a fumble, so I think he finished with like six fantasy points. It's really, really bad, but he came back in after the fumble and was just, he's the guy now. The Chargers are a bad run defense. We just brought that up a minute ago. That's the matchup. I think he's going to be a really good play this week.
Yeah, I agree. And my only fear with Pacheco is just that this team is smart enough to where if he's not succeeding, like if he's not playing well, they'll make further pivots. Clyde could get more time, could be McKinnon. But as long as he plays well, he will have the opportunity.
McKinnon is also a fine pickup.
Eight targets.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, we talk every week. It used to be J.D. McKissic as the, you know, smash glass
PPR back
in case of an emergency. McKinnon is the pass-catching back for this team, and now that it's a two-headed rotation, if you need a spot start, you could throw him in there.
And no Juju. So I think part of what made McKinnon more effective in that game was you saw him, it wasn't just out of the backfield, it was, you know, in the short area in front of Patrick Mahomes where Juju had been. Other names, Gus Edwards coming off the bye.
Yeah, coming off of the hamstring injury. I think that Gus Edwards needs to be rostered. The difficult part is, can you immediately play him? We haven't gotten the all clear from the Ravens because they didn't have to tell us anything over the bye week. But I would expect that he would be back. But Kenyon Drake, in the couple games where he's been the guy, Kenyon Drake has looked very good for this team. But week 7, when Gus was finally activated, he was right into the leader of the committee of the backfield. He got the two touchdowns. The next week, he had 11 for 65. It was a committee, but he looked good again on 21% of the snaps, 11 for 65. That's a good pace to be on, but then unfortunately hurts the hamstring. Where are you guys with his plug and play ability? Because you got to pick him up, but can you actually rely on him versus Carolina this week?
Carolina's run defense has been surprisingly bad this year, and it's going to be a matter of practice reports. You're not going to know how he practices this week when you put in your waiver claims tonight.
Right.
So you just make a waiver claim because he should be picked up.
And if he's picking you up.
Oh, Yeah, Gus Bus.
I'm going to wait a week. I think they're going to share it. I think they're going to share the load this week.
Well, I think they're going to share. It'll be a timeshare the rest of the season. It's just, does he get the high value touches near the goal line?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think he's worth the pickup for sure. He's rostered in over 50%. Some stash candidates at running back in the lower rostered percentage numbers. Isaiah Spiller, 15% rostered. Kenny Gainwell. Look, these are in case of injury. Samaje Perine in Cincinnati. And then Madison is about 50-50 on roster percentage, and you know Dalvin Cook's injury history. And then Kyren Williams. What do we think about Kyren's opportunities? If this team – let me make the case for Kyren Williams.
This is the rookie running back for the Los Angeles Rams.
Thank you. Who did play more snaps than Cam Akers. Akers only had 15% in the entire game. It was by far Daryl Henderson as the snap leader. My case for Kyren Williams is why not? And I'm speaking on behalf of Sean McVay.
Sure.
This team, they're circling the drain. Cam Akers is not your future at running back.
No.
Daryl Henderson's not your future at running back. So I would imagine over the back half of the year, as a team that's likely not competing for a playoff spot, Kyren will get opportunities and could be a little bit sneaky in terms of value. I like the fact that he was catching passes in this game. He was 3 for 30. I just think he's worth a glance. I don't think he's, you know, he's nobody you can start right now.
I would agree with that. The last name, we've mentioned his name in passing, but Jalen Warren is another good backup. He's more and more involved. Andy, you had such a good comp when we were watching this game. You saw a lot of Austin Eckler in him, and as soon as you said that, I mean, I could see exactly what you're talking about, because Eckler is a very unique style of runner. You know, the size and the legs that he can make a cut and get hit and keep going forward. And that's, you know, a fellow undrafted rookie free agent, Jalen Warren, should definitely be rostered. And, you know, should something happen to Najee, who's already been struggling with the foot injury over the course of the season, maybe he'll get a bigger opportunity. And even in dynasty leagues, he has played his way to more relevance on the field. And I do think that he looks like a really good player.
He is. They're both 5'8", Austin Eckler and Jalen Warren. Warren's actually listed at 16 pounds heavier than Austin Eckler, and both undrafted. So kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Can you drop Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
I think so. Yeah, I would do it. Even if I didn't need anybody and I wanted a blank spot on my bench, I would.
How wild is that? Clyde, you know, I know it was obvious, and we weren't the only ones saying this over the first handful of weeks. It's like, trade Clyde. It's hollow. It's touchdowns. But the first month of this season,
he was
the running back 6, 10, 17, and 8. 3 of his 4 weeks as a top 10 fantasy running back, and now without being injured at all, not once this whole season, is droppable. Whew, man, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is. All right, let's welcome some tight ends into the fold. Right now, Tyler Higbee tops the list. He's rostered in a lot of leagues, but if he isn't, Mike just brought it up, the case for Ben Skowronek, and that case exists for Tyler Higbee. 8 targets against Arizona. He is very much Mr. Necessary for this offense. When they are shorthanded, he becomes a high-value option. They have a bad offensive line. He is an emergency valve. And Tyler Higbee could be a PPR relevant player with the absence of Cooper Kupp.
They designed plays for him. There's not a lot of tight ends that get a designed tight end screen at least once a week. So yeah, I get it. He's not on your waivers, but for some people he might be there.
Yeah, and if you want to get there fast and then take it slow, Cole Kmet. Look, 2 touchdowns 2 weeks ago, 2 touchdowns last week. Oh, I'm not saying, but against the matchup against Atlanta, he is more involved in the passing game. He's available in half the leagues out there. Cole Kmet seems like someone that you could pick up and start if you need to throw someone in your lineup.
Yeah, and you're not, I mean, maybe you'll get 2 a week, but if you don't, be encouraged by 6 targets and 7 targets the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
But watch the injury report, because he was a little banged up at the end of the game. Other break glass options at tight end, Foster Moreau, 31% rostered.
of the Las Vegas Raiders.
We're back for Mr. IR Darren Waller.
We're back to the island. We haven't been here in many years.
It's overgrown.
Yeah, we need some
build a shelter.
We need some equipment.
But the island of Foster Moreau, always relevant around the goal line without Darren Waller. So yeah, it's tough in the tight end streets. Yeah. Jason, you asked yesterday in the office. He said and we should ask Mike, because who's the number three tight end in fantasy? Who would you want the most outside of Kelce Andrews? Because this is the question we were kind of walking through.
Right.
And
it's probably Goddard.
Okay. Goddard
was one of about five names that we brought up. It's like,
probably Dallas Goddard, who just, I mean,
Goddard
22 yards short of of a 10 legger over
Mike
here.
Mike had a monster parlay that should have told you guys not to hit him so late in the play.
Yeah. Hey, ref, he got face masked.
Dalton Schultz, could he be the number three the rest of the season?
Absolutely. He could. He's with his – he doesn't have the week-to-week upside for me that Goddard has. He's safe. He's
sure.
Like a top six play.
Like Kittle. Kittle, Goddard, Schultz, Hockenson. They're all like in the mix for three spot.
I get it.
The point here is outside of Kelce and Andrews – there's a Grand Canyon to relevance.
To the next tier.
Yeah.
It's true. I don't have any other names I want to mention at tight end. You know, the world wants to know, should they drop Kyle Pitts? He's the most brutal situation, obviously, in fantasy. He has the – Kyle, that number, that metric you gave me yesterday, is it the most uncatchable targets in all of football?
The most off-target percentage. Just 30% of his targets are off-target.
And this is a tight end and a player – and a freak athlete with the biggest wingspan at the tight end position in the history of football, and you can still throw him the ball off target. Like, that seems shocking, and yet is the reality. Kyle Pitts is not a reliable start in any way, shape, and form. You will always have a chance at the kind of play that Foster Moreau won't give you, which would be like they take a deep shot, he comes up with one that's on target, and it's a 74-yard touchdown. That won't happen with a number of these guys. But you're really just like rolling the dice, and it's against you.
It is so easy for a tight end to be top 12. It does not take much, because we just brought it up. There aren't a lot of good tight ends. And Kyle Pitts, we're heading into week 11. There's been two times on the season he's been in the top 12.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, there's been half of his games have been outside like the top 30. Like, just complete irrelevance.
You're much, much better off playing. And this is just disgusting, but playing like somebody like Evan Engram, who, you know, there's end zone shots to him, design plays for him. He's still athletic. He could still break a big play. And
good old Schmevin.
Schmevin Schmingram. Yeah, I would never tell anybody I'm starting Evan Engram. It would be Schmevin Schmingram.
Just put some glasses on him.
Look, I didn't see him in our list because I don't know what his roster percentage is right now, but where's Greg D on the roster percentage? Because last week he was on the field the whole time. It didn't go well, but if Jerry Jeudy's limited, he still could have bigger opportunities.
And the Raiders matchup is pretty 66%.
Nice. Yeah, he's worth a mention.
Absolutely,
right?
Yes.
What team defenses are we welcoming into the fold this week, gentlemen?
So there's a couple interesting ones. The Bengals are coming off their bye week, so they are pretty available. Rostered only 19%, but they get Pittsburgh, and that offense, I mean, as excited as you are for the target distribution going up for Pickens and for the Muth, they're not good, so the Cincinnati can handle that, and they get to follow that up with Tennessee, which if you stop Derrick Henry, which the Bengals have a good run defense, then there's nothing they can do against you either.
The Washington defense is by far my favorite pickup.
And they're super available. Chase Young might make it back for next week.
I mean, held Chicago to 7 points, held Green Bay to 21, held Indianapolis to 16, Minnesota to 20, and then last night against Philadelphia was a number two D on the week. Like,
sure.
And Houston is just this delightful floor when you play against them. That's why I liked the Giants last week.
Yeah, there's also two games being played this week that I am happy to have either defense on either side. The Patriots against the Jets, Belichick against Zach Wilson. I'm heck yeah, man. But also The Patriots offense doesn't seem that scary to me. The Jets defense has been playing great. They're coming off a bye. I'd be okay with the Jets side of the ball. And then the Rams, Saints.
Sure.
Those are two offenses that just are so good at throwing touchdowns to the other team. They are so good at it. And, you know, if you want to...
It's just the season of giving, Jason.
Right. This game, it's funny because you could have two bad offenses, two good defenses, and I'm not sure I would bet the under because defenses could do some scoring in this game.
Both over-unders are beneath 40 points as well in those games.
Yeah, it's, I mean, disgusting, but that's great for playing your DST.
All right, that was Welcome to the Fold presented by Samsung Galaxy. The Galaxy Z Fold 4 makes multitasking easy. All these waiver wire pickups. Use it to check out the player rankings as well. Watch highlights, view trade targets. You can do it all at once. Improve your roster. Visit Samsung.com to learn more.
Full stream ahead.
It's a little slim.
It is. I had...
The river is not flowing.
Mike's stream of the week is the one that jumped out beyond 100%. All the rest. So I'm going to let you lead the way, all Mike, because... Right. I'd rather you say these words at the part of the show before people disconnect. And then if you want to hang around for Jason and I's, feel free.
It's Daniel Jones. He's been fine. He's had some big games here and there. Quarterback 16 on the year. QB 13 last week against
the
Texans.
Get to the Y.
He's playing the Detroit
Lions.
Thank
you very much.
He's averaging nearly 8 rushing attempts per game. The Lions dead last in schedule-adjusted fantasy points to the quarterback position, allowing the highest yards per attempt. We mentioned Slayton as a possible upside a bye week fill-in at the wide receiver position. Jones should be perfectly fine this week.
I was just going to add that Daniel Jones is one of those rare quarterbacks that is not good for fantasy, but has explosions. He really, you know, he's one of the quarterbacks that can put up 30 points because he can have a 60-yard rushing touchdown or a 70-yard Darius Slayton bomb touchdown. So I do like him quite a bit for the matchup this week.
I am going to roll the dice with Jimmy Garoppolo as my streaming candidate this week. It is 100% about the matchup. The Cardinals have been the best matchup for quarterbacks for the last 3 weeks. You saw Andy Dalton in a game that they lost. This has been the enigma of the Cardinals' defense. They have actually been one of the best fantasy defenses each and every week, and they should have been even better last week. They're number 5 on the year right now. They had a touchdown straight up stolen from them by the referee blowing the whistle too soon. I don't know if you saw J.J. Watt.
Yes.
Actually paid out a bet to somebody that lost a parlay because of not having a defensive score. But the Cardinals have a way of doing what they did to Andy Dalton, giving up a huge fantasy day and yet intercepting the ball and doing things on defense. Jimmy G, Arizona, it's in Mexico City, Jason. I know yesterday you were saying the disrespect of the Cardinals at home being 8.5-point favorites or underdogs. It's because they're not at home. They're in Mexico City. And I think Arizona, giving up that near 70% completion rate, Byron Murphy didn't play last week. Jimmy G is interesting. I know he prefers not to throw any touchdowns, but if things go against his plan, you could end up with a couple.
And my stream of the week.
Oh.
Well, let's start off with a great,
Boston.
great tweet from at Paul Himbo, just for some context
oh,
here.
Oh, baby.
Patrick Mahomes is the NFL's all-time leader in passer rating at 105.8. The league has a 107 passer rating against the Raiders this season. So, yes, I'm going dangerous. I'm going Danger Witch. I'm going Russell Wilson as my stream of the week.
Unlimited.
He's been so bad. He only has one top 12 performance on the entire season, and it was against these Vegas Raiders. He was the quarterback 3. The Broncos put up the season high in points. This is a matchup that's exploitable, and I know you've got questions about Jerry Jeudy, but there are enough weapons here with Sutton, with Greg Dulcich, to be able to get the job done. I mean, you saw a broken play, 50-yard touchdown last week from Russ. That can happen against the Raiders on any play.
I couldn't do it. I mean, I was sitting, Mike had claimed Daniel Jones, and I'm staring at our StreamFinder tool from the website, and Russ jumps out, right? Like the Vegas matchup jumps out. I just didn't have the courage. I didn't have the courage to do it. I also looked at this game and thought about naming the Raiders as an upset, but man, that Denver defense is just too good. My biggest worry would be this being a 16-13 Denver victory or something of that nature.
That's how Denver likes to do it. I did borrow Mike's steel underpants. I hosed them out.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's important.
Yeah, very important.
Don't want to reuse those immediately.
Just a little Febreze. They're good to go.
I left that in the Arizona sun. Just bake it out.
Real rusty.
Yeah.
No, steel doesn't rust.
No,
right?
It does not. That's the best part.
That's the best part.
Yeah.
So you can pee in them and there's no rust risk.
That is amazing. That is correct.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good way to end the show, as always. All right. Thanks for joining us. Ride or Die tomorrow. Playoff primer. Thursday night preview. Lots going on. Check out our fantasy football community. 31,000 strong at jointhefoot.com. It's the best way to play fantasy football with other people tilting their faces off just like you.
Hey, good luck with your waivers, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.